Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pratane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pratyacharya Satane Krishna Chaitanya Bhunityananda Sri Advaita Vedada Sri Vasadi Gaurava Sarvinda Chaitanya Bhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Vihari. Kopi Dana Balaba, Kopi Dana Balaba. Jaya Giri Varadhari, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Kopi Dana Balaba. Jayagiri Varadhari, Jayagiri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana, Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana, Braja Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Varachari, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Yamuna Tira Varachari, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. balaba yiri varzari kaya grivarajari. Gopi Janabalava Grivarjari Jaya Grivarjari. Yasoda Nandana Radha Janaranjana Jaya Radha Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Radha Janaranjana Jaya Radha Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Radha Janaranjana Jaya Radha Janaranjana. Yamuna Kiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari. Yamuna Kiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oma Ganatvarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shigro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigrum Vaishnamamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubyasra Kripa Sinubyevacha Patidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do you have a Bhagavad Gita here? You've heard of that book? Everyone here speaks English? So we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is chapter 15, text number 8.
Shri Ram Yadavapnoti Yatschapyu Kramati Shraha Krihi Vaitani Samyati Vayur Gandhan Ivashayat. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental verse. Living entity in the material world is carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aromas, and thus he quits one kind of body and again takes another. Prabhupada's purport. Here are the living entities described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or a struggle for existence. Shri Ram Yadavapnoti Yatschapyu Kramati Shraha Vihi Vaitani Samyati Vayur Ganda Ivashayat. Who's that for? I understand everything. Living entity in the material world thus carries its different conceptions of life, one body to another, as the air carries aroma, and as he quits one body, he takes one kind of body, and again quits it to take another. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vijarane, Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasitatya Desatarne. In this verse, the problem of material existence is described. Krishna says, Shariram Yadavatnoti, that we are taking different kinds of bodies in this material world. And of course, whatever body we get, we think is very nice. Everyone thinks their body is very nice, no matter how miserable it may be. Still, we love it anyhow. And out of the false ego, we falsely have some conception that this body is me and it's something special. It's worshipable. And this is due to our conception of life. Generally speaking, there is one conception of life in the material world, is that I am the lord of the material nature and I am here to enjoy myself. That material life, in many ways, the conditioned soul is thinking, is nice. Actually, material life is not nice. We're always in a miserable state, but there's a little happiness called chappala sukha. little sense gratification, and the living entity thinks everything is all right. And according to how much we're absorbed in sense gratification, we get a conception of life that goes along with it. In the human form of life, the conception is supposed to be that we're going to regulate and gradually eliminate our sense gratification so that we can discover or uncover our spiritual identity. But, generally speaking, in the material world, as Krishna says, chintyam aprayam cha pralayam tamupashitya kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nishchitya. People think that the whole purpose of life is to gratify the senses. Of course, the question is, whose senses in modern society are gratified? If you walk on the street, or if you see on the street, it doesn't appear that people feel very gratified in this present society. Because the means that they're trying to gratify their senses with are simply illusory. Just like, for instance, if you were told that sugar cane is very sweet. Who here has ever eaten sugar cane? Yes. And you ask, well, where can I get sugar cane? Do they sell it here in Den Haag? They sell sugar cane here. Is it very common? Where do they sell it? Is it sweet? So say you went to a shop, your neighborhood grocery shop, and you asked for some sugar cane. And they said, what does it look like? And you told them, it looks like bamboo. Oh, bamboo, no problem. It's third shelf. So you bought some bamboo, you took it home, it looks like sugar cane, and you start chewing it. And you're convinced that it should be sweet. But it's not very sweet. It's just bamboo. But if you don't know what sugar cane is supposed to taste like, you may wind up spending your whole life eating bamboo, chewing on it. Thinking that everyone said it was very nice. It must be nice. I mean, after all, it costs, you know, €5 a stick, the bamboo. Similarly, when we come to the material world, we're trying to attain happiness by chewing the chute. Punak punas charvata charvanana. There is no juice in the material world. There's only chewing. Karshati. Struggling. But even if there's a little juice, after some years or after some time, it rapidly goes away, and then we're just working our jaws, chewing, 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 chewing. Just like in India, those who have been to India, they see that on the street there are cows. Less cows nowadays, but in any case, there are still some cows on the street. And the cows, they don't get much to eat. People don't feed the cows. Therefore, if there's some sugar cane on the street, a cow will rapidly come and eat it. And after chewing it and chewing it and chewing it, he'll go, and spit it out. And some other cow will come along and say, oh, there's some sugar cane, and pick it up and chew it. And spit it out. So all day long, the cows are coming and chewing the sugar cane. But there's no juice left. It's simply cane. This is called punak punas charvata charvanana. Chewing the chute. Modern society, they're chewing the chute. It's the same old movie, same old hero, same old heroine. Maybe this time the villain wins. Modern society has come to the point where the villain wins sometimes. Because people have become so like villains that if the hero wins, they feel bad. And if the villain wins, they can identify with the villain and feel good. So that's the happiness. There is no fresh air. Is there fresh air here in Den Haag? No, not too fresh. Clean water? Not so clean. Good food? Fresh vegetables? Grown in season? I guess the only thing they grow in season here is potatoes. and cabbage, right? So there's no food, there's no water, there's no air, and good relationships. Everyone is friendly here in Den Haag. Everyone is here is happy and friendly and kind and considerate. They have all the good qualities, all 26 qualities here. There is no, the relationships are not good, the food's not good, the water's not good. What is good? The movies are good. You can go to the movies and see people eating real good food, breathing real air, only in the movies. So you can go to the movie and feel good, at least someone is living life in the movie. According to the Vedic conception, the standard of material happiness is nice eating, peaceful life so you can sleep, not so much noise and disturbance, tranquil, peaceful living, satisfied relationships, and feeling protected, security. But now no one feels secure, the relationships are not good, people don't sleep peacefully. Even if they can go to sleep, then there's so many horrible things they dream about. And the food and the water and everything else that we're eating is all contaminated. So where is the sense gratification? You may have billions of euros, but you can't even get anything to eat. Even you have all these cooks, they're cooking you some dead animal from the last war. Or they're giving you something very sophisticated like fish eggs. And you're paying thousands of dollars for it. And to digest it, you have to drink some rotten grapes. The more rotten they are, the more you have to pay for them. They've been fermented for 300 years. They're really expensive. And then people think that this is life. But here it says it's just a conception of life that people have. And according to these different conceptions, they're taking one kind of body and again quitting it to take another one. Unfortunately, in modern society, people don't know what conception of life to develop so that their next life will be auspicious. Now they're praising and becoming absorbed in things which are totally useless. Not only useless, but they're actually detrimental to the mission of human life. Human life is meant for self-realization, to realize ourselves as spiritual souls, to realize our relationship with Krishna. But people aren't interested. Natevidu swarthi katim hi Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. Instead, they think the goal of life is that their local football team will win. They become absorbed in watching people kick a ball. And that's life for them. Or taking some stick and hitting a little ball with it into a hole. And if the ball goes into the hole, they feel good. And if the ball doesn't go into the hole, they feel bad. Little do they know, by such practice, by such meditation, they're going to obtain a situation in their next life which is certainly undesirable. If one is all day long absorbed in simply swimming up and down or watching people trying to swim like a fish, so in the next lifetime one will become a fish. All these great Olympians who won the gold medal in the Olympics or the silver medal or the bronze medal, after leaving their body they all became fish in the ocean. And therefore they're just swimming up and down. They're still swimming, but they don't have to change into a bathing suit or they don't have to worry about winning any medals. They're all champions in the ocean. All the people trying to jump like frogs, they become frogs. All the people are envious, they become snakes. So therefore, Krishna is providing so many opportunities. But if we don't know what's a good opportunity, we'll hear something insignificant glorified. The movie stars, the sports people, they're all shudras. Generally speaking, they're shudras. They're all in the mode of ignorance, glorifying the body, how fast it swims, how fast it runs, how high it jumps, It's all the body that they're meditating on. Or if you're a good actor, you can act like anything. You can act like a good person, whatever the conception of a good person is. You can act like a bad person. You can act like, so they're absorbed in all kinds of, they don't know who they are, and they're still acting like someone else. They don't know what their identity is. Their very life is an act. Everyone here is acting. But still they're so confused that they're, just like many people have many people inside themselves. They talk to themselves. I don't know about here in Den Haag, but if you go to America, you'll find that people have very interesting conversations with themselves. Because they don't even know who they are. They don't know who's, you know. So, the point is that if we have, whoever we're associating with, something's going to be glorified. Something's going to be, some activity is going to be praised as the goal of life, as a way of attaining happiness. Everyone's going to be trying to achieve something in this world. But the only real achievement, the only real happiness, the only real enlightenment is to realize that we're Krishna's servants and to utilize Krishna's energies in his service so we can come to the spiritual platform of awareness. Otherwise, as long as we're in some bodily identification, there's going to be some karshiti. Mamai vangso jivaloke, jiva bhutak sanatana, marakshastrani indriyani prakriti sarni karshiti. We're going simply, life after life, fighting, struggling to get something to eat, struggling to go to sleep, struggling to establish proper relationships with others, struggling to defend what we have, struggling to get what we don't have, but never satisfied, never peaceful, always struggling. So if anyone likes struggling and wants to do it eternally from now, great, that's what the material world is meant for. But for those who have some intelligence, sumedasa, those who can understand the value of human life especially, they can end the karshiti by associating with Krishna through the process of Krishna consciousness. That process of Krishna consciousness begins with hearing about Krishna, trying to utilize our intelligence to understand the value of Krishna consciousness, and then applying our energies, Krishna's energies, and with consciously trying to engage them in his service, whatever it may be. But somehow or another, whatever energy we have, utilize it for Krishna. Then the result is, naturally remember Krishna, and in that, by remembrance of Krishna, we'll get association with him. And the more we associate with Krishna, trying to please him, then the more all our misconceptions, all our misgivings about this material world will be gradually eliminated. And we'll realize that every step in our life we'll be able to feel and experience Krishna's presence. In such a happy state, it is said that one's intelligence becomes steady and we can see, understand everyone and everything as it's factually related to Krishna. Otherwise, if we become implicated in the modern society, we take seriously what they teach in the modern education or in the modern newspapers, or we become attracted to the modern types of communication like the movies or television, simply we'll become bewildered into accepting that this world of names is actually something valuable that can actually produce some happiness. That somehow or another, by some combination of earth and water and fire and air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, I'll find my eternal true love here. That my eternal true love is somehow or another a combination of these material ingredients. Since time immemorial, we've been trying to find our true love here, trying to find some comfortable, secure position in the material world, only to be kicked like a football from one body to another. Just like no one here would want to become a football in one of the football games. Say, for instance, they had a new sport, they wrap you up like a ball. And then the idea of the sport is to kick you from one goal to the next. So people would not appreciate that. But Maya is kicking us from one body to another, and we're thinking that this is happiness. We're being kicked from one existence to another, And while we're being kicked, we're thinking about how nice it would be to become secure and happy. That if someone kicks me in the right way, I'll feel good about it. But human form of life is an opportunity to realize how the material nature is bewildering us, how our real identity has been covered, and that our real value in life, our real goal in life, our real the real merit of human life is that we have an opportunity to become uncovered and go back to the platform of consciousness that we naturally are on, where we can enjoy happiness forever, full of ever developing love for Krishna and everyone and everything as it's related to Krishna. So in this age, even if we're not greatly philosophical, as we know, we can still chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we actually mean my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, kindly engage me in loving service, then Krishna will automatically, immediately engage us in his loving service. If we chant Hare Krishna lovingly, then Krishna will give us his association, and we'll be able to chant with more love, with more attention, more absorption. So we should try and chant Krishna, Hare Krishna, attentively, feelingly, lovingly. Then we'll remember Krishna, we'll become blissful, and then our goal of life will be achieved. We should avoid other types of chanting, as you all know. We can also chant on japa, beads, other mantras like shnik shnik, ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. And we may wonder why I'm not achieving the goal of life. We have to utilize our tongue and our lips. We have to engage our mind in remembering Krishna. And this way, if we're thinking of that blue boy with the flute, a peacock feather, we're thinking of the yellow dhoti, the son of Mother Jasoda, then naturally we'll become blissful in such thoughts. We'll personally associate with Krishna, and everything will become clear, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Only the human form of life. No, the human form of life is a great opportunity. So miserable? Because if it wasn't miserable, why would you want to go back to Godhead? You thought, I'm having a great time here. We want to stay here. Why is it miserable? Because that's the nature of material life. Because the absence of Krishna, we're in misery. Krishna is all blissful. So, just like 1 + 1 = 2, so Krishna is ever plus anything is equal to bliss. So you take Krishna away, then it's miserable. It's miserable because it lacks Krishna. So we add Krishna, then it'll be blissful. Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure. You take away the reservoir of pleasure, then what do you got? You don't got anything. You don't have anything. But people are thinking they're going to become happy without Krishna. Therefore, they're miserable. Anything else? Yes. Everyone dies. No. No, of course not. No, you have to chant Hare Krishna. We actually have to chant Hare Krishna. So to chant Hare Krishna doesn't mean simply to chant some letters of the alphabet. Krishna doesn't mean simply some letters of the alphabet. The name of Krishna means Krishna's form, his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, his associates. If these things are remembered, and only those things are remembered, then one is already in Vaikuntha. Esha brahmasiti partha nayam prapti vimuyati siddhyasgam antakalepi brahmanirvana richiti. Vihaya kami yaksarvam pumam sharati nispriha niramamo nirahankara sashanti marigachite. A one who gives up vihaya kama, all material desires, who lives free from material desires, who's given up all sense of false proprietorship, is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So when we chant Hare Krishna now, we're not necessarily in Vaikuntha. Isn't that right? Because we don't really chant the holy name yet. We're practicing. We're sadhakas. We're practicing to chant. So similarly, if we're just practicing at the time of death to chant, it doesn't mean we may be chanting. It doesn't mean we remember Krishna. We're not necessarily absorbed in remembering Krishna just by chanting Hare Krishna. Now or at the time of death. Ajamiyo. He didn't go back to Vaikuntha. He didn't go back to Vaikuntha. He chanted the name of Narayan very feelingly, with great apprehension, but the Yamadutas stopped dragging him to hell. And the Vishnu Dutas, they advise him to go somewhere so he can continue on with his Krishna consciousness. So he took Krishna consciousness seriously, and he cultivated it, and then he became eligible to go back to Vaikuntha. So here's an example of someone who was chanting the name of Narayan at the time of leaving his body, but he didn't go to Vaikuntha immediately. He had to cultivate the chanting of the holy name, and then he went to Vaikuntha. So... Well, you can go there and see if he's there. Yeah, maybe. Who knows where he went? I wouldn't want to go where he went, though. Even if he chanted Ram, but what was his conception of Ram? The question is what his conception was. If you have the wrong conception, you can chant anything. It doesn't mean you're going to get that. No, he didn't believe that Ram was actually a person. Therefore, even though he's chanting Ram's name, still he wasn't actually chanting Ram's name. You have to understand, Ram is not simply some letters of the alphabet. Ram means you have to understand Krishna as he really is, not as we want him to be, or as we think he is, or as we imagine him to be. It means you have to understand the Siddhanta. So therefore, we have to chant Hare Krishna without an offense. The Mayavadis, they also chant Hare Krishna, the impersonalists. But their chanting is in the realm of Nama Aparat. Therefore, instead of making progress, they actually become degraded. It's not just chanting. We have to receive the mantra in disciplic succession. We have to receive the philosophy. We have to understand what the mantra means and how to properly chant it. Otherwise, why do we have a Hare Krishna movement? Why does Krishna say, Evam parampara praptam? Why does he have this simple succession? It's so we can learn properly what the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna are. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is there. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we associate with the Bhagavatam, not with our imaginations. Yes. Hare Krishna. If he failed, how could the guru take him back? How could he fail, but he gets taken back anyhow? No, you have to, passing means you go back. Next life? Another chance, next lifetime to practice some more. Takes practice, everything takes practice. But there's no failure. If one is practicing Krishna consciousness, that is the success. It is not a contest. Who's the first person to get back to Vaikuntha? He wins, and then he closes the door, and everyone else, let me in. Sorry, you came in second. You lost. You failed. Oh, there's plenty of room for everyone there. Don't worry. Does he have to come back? Why, you want your guru to come back? No, if one is actually a guru, in the sense that we usually conceive of a guru, then he's already in the spiritual world. And whatever Krishna wants, he'll arrange. Our relationship primarily is with Krishna. The guru is Krishna's representative to bring us back to Krishna. So Krishna will make the arrangements. Yes. What about you? Do you struggle too? Yes. Yeah. Everyone, even the adults think they know very much. But we don't even know who we are. Could you imagine that someone thinks he knows everything, but he doesn't even know who they are, who he is? Just like if you met the topmost scientists in the world, and you asked them, "Excuse me, sir, what's your name?" And he goes, "Oh, that's, wow. That's a really tough question. Can you come back tomorrow and maybe I'll get figure?" Here is supposed to be the topmost scientist in the world, knows, you know, but he doesn't even know what his name is. What would you think? You think this person's a nut. So here we are. Someone asks you, "Who are you?" And people go, "I'm this body." It's just like saying, "Who are you?" And you look at your coat and you say, "Well, I'm an orange shirt. That's who I am." Could you imagine if you walked up to someone, "Who are you?" "I'm an orange shirt." You think this person's, well, he should be on the street. So we ask someone, "Who are you?" And they identify with their body. But they're not, but we know they're not their body. So therefore they don't even know who they are. They think that the goal of life is to make their body look very nice, keep their body. But neither the body will look very nice in some years, nor will we be able to maintain it. Therefore, whatever they're doing is just a waste of time. Struggling hard to maintain the body, which was subject inevitably to annihilation. So they don't know who they are. They don't know what the goal of life is. They actually know nothing. Yes. But if one is fortunate enough to come in contact with a devotee, and they're submissive to hear from them, then it takes a lot less time. Otherwise, it could take a long, long time. People think they're accomplishing something, but they're actually just wasting their valuable human form of life. Only if they take to the Krishna consciousness and they understand their spiritual identity in relation to Krishna, are they doing something worthwhile. Even the indirect process by which one is able to perform the rituals necessary to make, according to the Vedic, conception, cultivate knowledge or practice yoga system, even the indirect path is auspicious because it will eventually lead to bhakti yoga, to service to Krishna. But unless something leads to service to Krishna, it's considered to be shrava evahi kevalam. That's a waste of time. Anything? Well, something is gained like that. But of course, there may be some association, because after all, Ganges water or Tulsi leaf, these are spiritual, which means that they have a vibration which is purified. But where we go in our next lifetime depends upon what we've done in this lifetime. The little drop of Tulsi, a little Tulsi leaf, a couple of drops, something spiritual, so something in our life in the future will be something, have a little drop of something spiritual. But unless we've really cultivated Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, we can't expect to be a life of full devotion in the next one automatically. Everything is very practical. Yes. something like a chance. Well, it generally takes some lives. If that's the only thing they did. But if they've chanted Hare Krishna, they heard about Krishna, then that's all taken into account. Krishna knows exactly. Just like we've taken this life. Not everyone here is a completely advanced, pure devotee. We're all practicing. We're all coming from different levels of practicing. Maybe someone in this lifetime, you know, they weren't born even knowing about Krishna. They had to wait some time. So this is all because of our previous lives. Whatever we've accomplished, whatever we were able to, whatever we've entered into this lifetime with in Krishna consciousness in terms of those assets, is because that's what we've cultivated in the last lifetime or the last lifetimes. But no one thinks, well, I didn't make it completely to be Krishna conscious in my last lifetime, so why should I even bother practicing this one? No, we know if we practice to some extent, then even if we don't become fully Krishna conscious in this lifetime, whatever we practiced, in the next lifetime it will be so much easier to become Krishna conscious. If we get some insights on what the principles behind Krishna consciousness are, in this lifetime, we don't forget it. We actually get some genuine realization, genuine enlightenment. Then it's maintained under all circumstances. Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So anything done in Krishna consciousness, in factually in Krishna consciousness, in full understanding, then no amount of material activity or conception can cover it. But we shouldn't take the conception that I can do anything I like in this lifetime. At the time of death, I'll chant Hare Krishna or someone will put a drop of Ganges in my mouth and I'll go back to the spiritual world. It won't work like that. Yes. It has some effect, but you can tell what effect it has. It has some effect, but it's not the effect we're looking for. We want to become enlightened and blissful, eternally. So if you don't chant Hare Krishna, it's not that we're going to go back to the spiritual world, and we're going to arrive in the spiritual world and go, schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, schnick, schnick, ram. Everyone will think, where did this guy come from? Well, you know, they said that Hare Krishna mantra is all powerful, so we had to bring him back to the spiritual world. But he looks depressed. He keeps on asking where the McDonald's is. There's no McDonald's here. No, we have to chant with love and devotion. Then we'll get the real effect. Otherwise, there's some effect. The fact is, if you chant long enough like that, you'll think, why am I wasting my time chanting this mantra? Maybe I would start better chanting it better. That's the effect. Purifying? Well, you can judge for yourself. Try it. Chant for 3 days. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So terrible. I mean, we see devotees are chanting for years. They're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, Ram, 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 Ram. Hey, Ram, Ram, Ram. Oh. Yeah, they become really purified. You walk up to them, maybe you should chant a little bit. What? Chanting better? I'm already purified. Do you know who I am, you rat? How dare you insult a pure devotee? No, there is some purification, but that purification is that hopefully we'll realize how impure we are. We'll start making some progress. That's the purification. It is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura said in his book Harinam Chintamani, or Harinam, that if you chant Hare Krishna with some Shraddha, then the result is you'll be eligible to chant Hare Krishna more. If you chant in such a way is that you're free from the offenses and that automatically you come to remember Krishna's form, then you come to the platform of Nishta. You go beyond anartha nivritti. And if you chant in such a way is that you're further free from offenses, you chant with some feeling and devotion, then you come to the stage of ruchi. Otherwise, you can chant, but that will take you up to the platform of anartha nivritti. But unless we give up our anarthas, and we, as it says, bahu janma kari shravana kirtana, you can go on chanting for millions of years, but unless we become free from the offenses, we won't obtain the goal of life, which is love for Krishna. So chanting will inspire us to chant more, but if we really want to get the result, we have to get free from the offenses. We have to chant offenselessly. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granth Raj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Jai.